After talking it over with my family and full support of my coaches, I've decided to enter the 2020 NBA draft and pursue my lifelong goal of being an NBA player. In basketball, it's always been my ultimate dream, and my time at KU has prepared me. Although I intend to sign with an agent and remain in the draft, this is not a goodbye, as I will always be a Jayhawk. Thank you to God, my parents, coaches, support staff, teammates, Jayhawk Nation, and everyone for making these last 2 years extremely special. Brock Chalk.
Esteban Dotson, Jayhawk point guard. Not surprising that he is going to go pro. More than likely, he's going to sign with an agent, and he'll stay in the NBA draft. Esteban Dotson. Which, you know, with college athletics coming up in the future, you don't know what's going to happen, you know, even when we get to October, November, in regards to the season starting in November. But Devon Dotson going to go pro, and that means Marcus Garrett's your point guard next year, as of now.
Yeah, they're full right now, too. I think they're obviously anticipating that.
Sure.
And, they don't have any scholarships right now to give away to anybody, but if somebody would walk on or do something like that to change some of those things around. But, yeah, that's what it's looking like right now.
No surprise. So Dotson is going to the NBA. K-State missing out on a recruit, not a five-star, but a solid recruit, and K-State loses out.
Yeah, Donovan Williams. It looked like he was going to come to K-State, and then a Thor kid decided that he wasn't going to go to Oklahoma State. He was going to go to Auburn, and that left Oklahoma State with a scholarship. So, yeah, Donovan Williams from Lincoln North Star, second-rated recruit in Nebraska, going to Oklahoma State instead of K-State. So still an open scholarship now that David Sloan's in the transfer portal for K-State.
Some recruiting services have him as a three-star, Donovan Williams. Others have him as a four-star. It is what it is. It's what you make of it when you get to college, as we point out many times with these recruiting services. But K-State misses out, and I thought they had a shot at landing Donovan Williams. Couple of coaching situations. Tracy Ritzky from Kensington, second winningest coach all time in NCAA Division II women's volleyball, has announced his retirement after serving the past 32 years as the head women's volleyball coach at Rockhurst. He retires ranking number four among women's college volleyball coaches of all levels with 1,277 victories. Under Ritzky, the Hawks averaged more than 34 wins per season, advanced to postseason play 26 times, 3 GLVC tournament titles, 3 NCAA regional championships. He was named National Coach of the Year in Division II just recently in 2019. He was named the head coach at Rockhurst in the summer of 1988. His volleyball teams won 30 or more matches 20 times, including 11 times they won over 40. And his 93 squad won a school record 57 matches. He led the Hawks to 13 NCAA tournament and 6 NAIA tournament appearances. In addition, he coached 21 NCAA and NAIA All-America selections and 71 All-Conference recipients. And he says, and I quote, "We've had a very successful run. Rockhurst has been a great fit for me and my family. God has truly blessed us. Both of our daughters graduated from Rockhurst and played volleyball all 4 years and gave me the opportunity to coach them, which gave me a shot of adrenaline and energy to help me finish my career on a high note. It takes a special athlete to play for a parent and a strong person to be a spouse, and I thank my wife, Cindy, for her support over the last 32 years. So 1,105 victories, only 229 losses. That is a winning percentage of 83%. That's pretty doggone good. And he's a graduate of Kansas Wesleyan University in 1977, and he was inducted in the Kansas Wesleyan Athletics Hall of Fame in 1986. So Rockhurst now will look and start a national search to identify the next head coach of the women's volleyball program. Terry Ritzky from Kensington, retiring there at Rockhurst University after 32 years. Second winningest coach all time in NCAA Division II women's volleyball. That's pretty decent.
That's a heck of a resume that you just read off right there.
That's not bad. Sure. Not bad at all. Not bad at all. Pretty good stuff. All right, speaking of coaches, I went through this when I was at Waukenny. It was on the boys' side of things. Now it's on the girls' side. Donnie Schubert, head coach of the Waukenny or the Trigo Golden Eagle girls basketball team that was ranked number one at state a good portion of the year and was still alive for a state championship until the whole tournaments, of course, were canceled. And they went 23-1 this year. Not bad. Pretty good year. Anyway, he was not retained by the school. 43-6 his record the last 2 years. The school board voted him out as a head coach on the girls' side of things. 2A Coach of the Year finalist. Team set school record for scoring defense each of the last 2 years. The next Trigo girls basketball coach will be the sixth in the last 12 years, according to Connor Nickel. No one has served more than 4 years at Trigo in girls basketball, and they were 2 wins away from winning a state championship in girls basketball. Let me tell you something, that program was really bad when I was there back in the 90s. They'd be lucky they won 2 games. So now we understand there was an incident that took place on senior night, if I remember you correctly, Tommy, that took place. And so maybe that's the main reason why he's not being retained, or maybe that was a great excuse to get rid of him. I don't know all the particulars, but all I know is that's a lot of turnover. Six coaches in 12 years, or a sixth coach in 12 years now for the girls' side. I know in my situation back in the 90s, it was all set up. It was a big sham in regards to a couple of parents weren't very happy because their kid was yelled at who played on the basketball team because, you know, you can't yell, apparently, as a coach. Yeah. Anyway, two chickens didn't want to show up at the board meeting, and the votes were 3-2 in favor of keeping my basketball coach for my senior season. And I was there in attendance along with my dad. And so it was 3-2, so we thought he was going to be retained. And then they said the two people didn't show up. Their absence counts as no votes because they didn't show up. They still count as no's. Like, really? So so in essence, they voted no but didn't have the guts to show up and stand before everybody and vote no. And it was just chicken. It was crap is what it was.
Yeah.
And my coach was ousted. And my dad, you know, my dad didn't get involved in any of that stuff in regards to sports, but he knew how strongly I felt about it with my head coach. And especially for me, going into my senior season, didn't want to have a brand new coach. And my dad told the board president, who he knew pretty well, he was a local hardware guy, nice guy, and my dad just went up to him. I remember my dad telling him this, and because my dad didn't really have any involvement in sports other than he went and he supported me as a as a dad. He didn't know much about sports per se. I mean, he played a little bit when he was in high school back in the day in the 60s, but he really didn't voice an opinion, didn't yell at the stands, get mad at officials, didn't get mad at anybody. He just stood there, and he was watching more about how I reacted. He'd be more upset if I lost my cool than anything else. And I remember him going up to the school board president after the meeting, and he said, well, whatever you do, you got seniors here. And he said, I really, really, really hope you guys go find or get a guy with some experience as a next head coach. And what they end up doing is hiring a guy that had no coaching experience whatsoever, who was still doing grad classes at Fort Hays State University, and that was my coach my senior year. So, you know, that's that was a really bummer for me my senior year, and really messed up a lot of things for what I was planning on doing. But it opened up some things for me in another sport and worked out okay. The reason I bring this story up is because the school board is involved, and it is Trigo. It is Bob Kinney. Now, this situation, obviously, many years later, could be completely different, probably is completely different, but there is a similarity, and that is that both those coaches were successful, and both of them have been ousted by a school board. And I know there have been other times between when I was in school and now where these coaches have been ousted by school boards. And this isn't just a Waukini thing. This happens across the country. Yeah. In some cases, it's warranted. And this, it could be the fact. That could be the case here. I don't know all the facts, so I'm not going to go off about this particular situation because I don't know. That'd be irresponsible of me to go off about the school board being unfair or Coach Schubert really messed up. I don't know all the particulars. I know there was an incident that you told me about. That's how I got my information. I don't know anything else about anything else with Coach Schubert. But it isn't very often that a coach is two wins away from a state championship and goes 23-1 and is not retained the next year. It takes something somewhat crazy or wild or weird, you would at least think, to be ousted. But nowadays, with the way things are with parents and the connections with school board people and whatever else, and some school boards do the right thing and get rid of somebody no matter how successful they are, because listen, that person crossed the line. I don't care how successful that coach is, we shouldn't have different rules for different coaches. And I understand that. I admire those school board members. But if there are school board members that are ousting coaches because their kid didn't get to play a lot, and then they basically gather around the posse and get everybody to vote against them because you personally don't like the coach, but all the other players love the coach, well, then you've done something wrong. You put yourself selfishly ahead of everybody instead of the school. You have put yourself above that. You are more important, you and your child, than everybody else on the team and at your school and your program. And there have been school boards that have done that. And that is a shame because that's not what they're supposed to be doing. But there are many that have done the right thing. I read a story the other day or watched a video about a coach that supposedly used some bad language and kind of a verbal assault on a teacher in a classroom near New Orleans. He was an unbelievable football coach and won a state title the year before and so on. And they interviewed the superintendent or the principal, and he said, listen, we have the same rules whether you're a great coach or not a great coach. And those rules were broken, and so we let him go. Listen, and that applies to coaches too. Coaches have a rule, and if they have a rule, and that is you can't be drinking during the season, and the star player drinks and the kid that sits at the end of the bench drinks, they both should be suspended or kicked off the team. Now, we know that doesn't always happen, does it?
No.
So, and it's the same thing that happens sometimes with school boards. Like, you know what? This coach isn't very good. We can oust them quickly because, well, that, but this coach is really, really good. Now we're going to catch some backlash. And I guarantee you, whether the High School, if Trigo, which is our alma mater, you're in mine, full disclosure, if Trigo decided to get rid of the coach for the right reasons, even if they did it for the right reasons, there are going to be people on the coach's side of things that are going to be biased towards the coach and say, well, this is baloney. He was 23-1. How can you fire him? And there'll be other people on the other side of it saying, listen, we did what we had to do, and that took some guts to do what they did, no matter how successful the coach is. So you can play it both ways. I have no idea for sure what happened in the situation. If it was one incident, they got him basically fired. And I remember the school board told us back in the 90s, and this is, I go back to this, the school board told us he was not fired. His contract wasn't renewed. To me, that's the same thing. Yeah. You can use,
Everybody says
go technicalities all you want, okay? He was fired. He wanted to be back. You didn't let him come back. Well, technically, he wasn't renewed, so he was technically already not under contract. This is what they could hide behind sometimes. Listen, you didn't want him back, and he wanted to be back. You fired him. You know, you can say technically he wasn't fired. That's fine. Whatever. But everybody out there knows.
Yeah.
And that's what happened here. Donnie Schubert was not retained, as they say, or fired, whatever word you want to use. He's not going to be back next year, and he went 43-6 in 2 years as a girls' basketball coach. But we can only know if we talk to Coach Schubert about it and talk to the school board and have a full story about it. And the reason I bring this up is it's your alma mater, it's my alma mater, and it's not every day a coach goes 23-1 and is not retained the next year at any level.
Well, and it's with Donnie, it's personal for me.
Because he coached you.
He coached me, and I know what kind of man he is. I know how he coached me. We had, my senior year was kind of similar as to I had a coaching change. Now, your old coach actually came back and coached me my first 3 years there at Trigo, and then he resigned. Okay, so we got a new coach. Again, it was a guy that was not from around here. He was from Plainville that was coaching at Palco. Mm-hmm. Came in and had his team all set up going into my senior year. Well, Donnie was my assistant coach through those first 3 years. He was still the assistant coach, and he fought his butt off for me to get on that team. Mm-hmm. Because he knew I should have been on the team, and I deserved that spot, and probably in the top 10 on the team. Yeah. But, this new coach didn't know anything. I didn't go out for football. He had his teams based on what he saw as an assistant coach in football, ready for basketball. Mm-hmm. And so Donnie fought for me. So you're not going to get me to say a bad thing about the man on this radio station in my life. He talked about bias. I have it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a good one to talk about this probably. Right. Now, did he do something wrong? I'm pretty sure he did from what I know. Mm-hmm. But again, it's hard for me to comment and say bad things about him because he fought his butt off for me.
Right.
And I'm not... And I understand how he coached too. I understand he's
demanding.
He's not demanding per se, but he will get the best out of you. Mm-hmm. And he's an emotional guy. There's no question about that. He's a very emotional guy, and he's been through a lot in his life too. And that's some of the things that I know about in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. So, it's hard for me to talk about it, and it's hard for me to say anything bad about him. But again, it takes one mistake sometimes, if that's what happened.
Right.
And so, it's tough for me. There's no question about it. I kind of heard rumors about it, and then obviously when I heard about it last night, it was tough. There's no question.
So like I said, it could be well warranted. It could be totally not warranted. We don't know for sure.
Yeah.
We don't have all the details.
I'm not there anymore. I don't know 100%.
But we do know in situations across the country, and we've seen it certainly in teams we've covered over the years, and I've been at different stops, that I've seen school boards completely do the wrong thing because there's one person that became the ringleader and forced the coach out because they had a problem with that coach or their kid didn't like the coach. And there had been times where school boards have collectively done the right thing and made a tough decision and let go of a coach that was considered somewhat of a legend, and they let him go, and the coach deep down probably knew why they were getting let go. So it works both ways. I want that to be out there and fair.
Yes.
And we're not taking one side or the other. I mean, we don't know exactly what happened, but it is newsworthy because it doesn't happen very often that a coach goes 23-1 and is not retained the next year. That is very, very rare.
Yeah, at his boys' record, his record's just unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Okay, we mentioned KU and K-State. Now let's move to the Chiefs. The Chiefs, Tyler Newsom is a punter they've signed. I've been thinking this for a while, and I think the Chiefs have wanted to find a guy to replace Dustin Colquitt, because Colquitt's going to make $2.6 million this year. Now, if this kid, Tyler Newsom, who was with the Chargers and cut right at the last cut last year, he was a punter at Notre Dame. If he can end up doing a really good job for the Chiefs, he could save them, you know, obviously some a couple million dollars.
That's $2 million, yeah.
$2 million if he ends up being the punter and the Chiefs cut Dustin Colquitt. Colquitt's a great – he's been with the Chiefs, longest tenure player with the Chiefs right now. He's done a great job, but he has declined a little bit the last few years, which is going to happen. I mean, that's natural as you get older.
Absolutely.
And he's been great in the community, so forth and so on. But, you know, as we know in sports, it's a business. So I think Dustin Colquitt's days in Kansas City, this will be his final year, I think, for sure. And his final year of his contract. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the Chiefs may, this might be, last year might have been his final year. So we'll see what the Chiefs do there. Should the Chiefs draft a running back in this year's draft? DeAndre Washington, the Chiefs picked up late last week. Here's a free agent from the Oakland Raiders. He was a teammate, and I remember that name. He was a teammate mm-hmm. with Texas Tech and Patrick Mahomes. He's really good catching the ball out of the backfield. And he ran the ball okay for Oakland. I think he fits the Chiefs system pretty well. So now the question is, did the Chiefs need to draft a running back this year? I would say they don't need to. I think they still might. But you have Darwin Thompson, who they like, sixth-round pick last year, kind of a scat back, maybe more of a third-down back. You have Damien Williams in the final year's contract. You've got Darrell Williams, who they liked, and then he pulled his hammy and was done late in the year. And now you got DeAndre Washington. Do you think the Chiefs will still draft the running back with that depth? I mean, they have depth, but it's not like
that's
the highest quality.
Standing depth. No. Yeah, it's not like these guys are
running back. Supposedly a deep position in the draft this year, according
yeah.
to some.
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's somebody there that they like, they'll go ahead and pull the trigger on
I do
it.
Too.
I don't think that they'll be shying away from running backs just because they
I don't think they'll pick one in the first three rounds, though, do you?
No, I don't think it's going to be a need or a
– Unless there's just an unbelievable talent
yeah.
that slides.
I mean, there's somebody there that –
J.K. Dobbins in the third round, they might want to take.
Yeah, and there's somebody that falls down mm-hmm. to where that's the guy that's number one on their board right there. I won't be surprised if that's where they pull the trigger and say, yeah, I want this guy.
Yeah. We'll see. I think DeAndre Washington might be a good fit, but that means who's going to be on the outside looking in. If you go with those four running backs and everybody stays healthy, at least one, if not two, are going to be inactive.
It's Darrell Williams for me.
Yeah,
it's
so
one
too.
Of them. And in no fault of his own. I mean,
right.
just some of the injuries that
mm-hmm.
he's dealt with, because I don't think that right. was the first time.
I think they're
year,
obviously going to keep Damien Williams and they're going to keep Darwin Thompson, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, DeAndre Washington still might not end up
yeah,
making
he
the
might
team.
Not, exactly. He might not even be one of the guys.
Speaking of running backs, I've talked about it before. Todd Gurley's contract was a bad one for the Rams. Ezekiel Elliott, I think, will be a bad one for the Cowboys down the road. And we've talked about how you don't give running backs tons of money. Well, the Carolina Panthers are. And Chris McCaffrey has earned this. Don't get me wrong. Last year, he led the NFL in total touches, yards from scrimmage, total touchdowns. Only the third player in NFL history, at least 1,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards. Second straight year, he rushed for over 1,000 yards. He signed a four-year contract extension yesterday worth a reported $64 million, which makes him the highest-paid running back in the NFL on a year-per-year basis. Now, he had 403 touches last year, and there have only been 44 400-plus touch seasons in the history of the league, and only nine players ever reached it more than once, and only five have done it more than twice. And LaDainian Tomlinson was the last one to do it. And, of course, shortly after that, he started to break down. Larry Johnson, we saw it happen after he had a 400-carry season. Mm-hmm. McCaffrey's not a huge, big, strong – I mean, he's strong, you know, short and strong and compact. But I do think the numbers are against you, just like these huge $250 to $400 million contracts in baseball. Odds are against you that it's a good investment.
Yeah.
Except in this case, it's not all guaranteed. I don't know what the signing bonus is or how they structured it, but it could handcuff the Panthers down the line. But Matt Rhule is the new head coach of the Panthers. Obviously, they felt they needed to keep McCaffrey. I will say this, though. McCaffrey is only 23. So
yeah.
If you are going to give a guy running back ever a deal, it's probably this early in his career, perhaps, and have him locked up. This one might work out because he can catch it, he can run it, but usually they don't. So I don't think you're going to see the Chiefs under Andy Reid give anybody a ton of money as a running back.
Not that position.
No, not that position, especially when you're going to have $40, $50 million tied up in your quarterback here
yeah.
pretty soon. Speaking of the former Chief, LeSean McCoy, still looking for a team here the offseason. He's still a good fit with the Chiefs in regards to Andy Reid, but, of course, he was inactive the AFC title game in the Super Bowl, so I think the writing's on the wall there. But he was a leading rusher for the Chiefs last year.
Yeah.
He averaged 4.6 yards a carry, but then towards the end, gas was out of the tank or what. So this year, and Sean McCoy still has a chance to get to 12,000 rushing yards. He needs like 929, I think. And do you know that every running back in the NFL Hall of Fame has at least 12,000 rushing yards? So if McCoy wants to make it the Hall of Fame, he'd have to get to 12,000 is what I'm basically saying.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll get 929 yards before his career's over? He says he has 2 years left in the tank. Last year, 450. I don't think he's going to get there.
I don't think so.
Talk is he might go back to Philly.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to get there.
No.
I'd love to see him get there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't think he will. All right, time for Substate Championship Week Rewind. Yesterday it was the 3A Girls Substate Final for 2009, Beloit and Hoisington. Former head coach Dallas Cox joined us, and you were talking about yesterday off the air with me that some former players were talking about listening to that.
Yeah.
And I've had some parents that have contacted me, so that was great to listen to, or they want a copy of the broadcast. That is kind of the fun part, and it's hard to believe that was 11 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Some of those names that you hear, and it's like, oh, wow, that – man, doesn't seem like it's been that long ago.
Yeah, right.
I mean, every one of these games that we're editing, and it's like, there's been so many names that come through, too. And you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about him. He was great.
Uh-huh.
And just so many guys that you forget, maybe in girls, and that you forget that you covered. And, yeah, it is. It's crazy how fast the time flies.
That was 2009, so that covered the Beloit girls yesterday. Today we're going to focus on the Rock Hills football team from 2012, the 8-man Division I football substate final. Rock Hills knocking off Madison at home, a game that Dusty called. Former head coach Sam Myers, who was head coach then, will join us here in just a moment. Tomorrow, we'll focus on the Beloit boys basketball team, the recent substate final against TMP. Head coach Ryan Eilert will join us to talk about that. Thursday, Lance Bergman of St. John's Tipton Boys will replay a portion of the 2016 1A Division II boys basketball substate final between St. John's Tipton and Axtell. And then Friday, former head coach of the Osmond girls, John Bowden, will join us in that thrilling 2A girls basketball substate final of 2010 that came down to the final shot between Osmond and Rock Hills. And then we'll have more substate championship games coming up next week we'll play portions of. Today we're going to play the second half of Rock Hills and Madison. I'll let you throw it to whatever you want to say, and you can throw it to the cut number here in regards to, of course, you were there to cover that. Yeah. Rock Hills had a great year that year.
It was amazing. We'll hear from Coach Myers about it, but Madison had been on a two-year winning streak as far as state championships were concerned. They were back-to-back state champs going into that sub-state championship game there, and I think a lot of people probably just thought Madison was going to come in and just take care of this one and go to the state championship for the third straight year. It didn't quite happen that way. And I mean, Rock Hills came to play that whole year. They kind of had a shift early in the season where they just turned their season around and kind of decided, hey, we're not going to go down anymore. We're going to make it to the state championship game. And they played very inspired and came out really good defensively that day. And you'll hear that coming up here, but it's a great game to call and a great atmosphere up there in Mankato, and really, as I remember, one of the better games that I've been a part of there as far as substate championships are concerned here in this area. So yeah, I hope everybody enjoys it. Rock Hills Madison from 2012 here on Substate Championship Rewind. And we'll welcome you back here on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com on the sports ticket. It's Substate Championship Rewind here on Katy Country 94. We're joined by Sam Myers, the head coach of the Rock Hills Grizzlies. We'll hear from him momentarily. But kind of looking at this game, you had a 22-6 lead in the third quarter at one point, and Madison got back within 22-12. Then there was a series of events early in the fourth quarter. You went for it on a fourth down play on a fake punt, got the first down, but then you fumbled after you get the first down, get your own recovery, and then Joel Brockman, as you'll hear here, gave you some breathing room with a big touchdown.
9:02 and counting in the ballgame, 22-12. Rock Hills looking to tack on more. Topple takes the snap, hand off Joel Brockman. Uses the speed to get around the edge. 10 to the 20, to the 15, to the 10. 5, touchdown, Joel Brockman. It's a 24-yard score for the Rock Hills sophomore, and the Grizzlies lead 28-12 with 8:51 to play in the fourth quarter.
So again, Sam Myers, the head coach of the Rock Hills Grizzlies in 2012, with us here. Take me through that series of events that we just went through and how you were feeling going in there when you finally got that nice score to give you a little bit of wiggle room in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, there was a couple of times in there I think my heart just stopped, and I think one of those was on that pass. You know, I was not known for throwing the ball very often, but we were in a situation in that game where it was third down, and based on the tempo of the game, and it kind of had gone back and forth a little bit as far as we knew that if we could keep it a two-score game, the way we were able to burn the clock with our running game, we were just kind of in a critical situation, and we made the call for the pass, and it worked out exactly how we wanted it, and Wyatt Flynn caught the ball, and then he turned it up the field, and it just looked even better. And I remember when he crossed the first down, I thought, that's it. All we got to do now is, we can control the clock, and, you know, even if we don't score, they got a long ways to go. We've got this taken care of. And when I saw that ball come out, well, my heart just stopped. Then I think it was Aaron Brockelman got on top of it, and we still had it, and we were back in the driver's seat for continuing to grind the clock out on them and take them out of opportunities and keep it a two-score game. And so that was a moment I will never forget, that few series of moments where everything hung in limbo.
That gave you a 30-12 lead, but did you ever feel comfortable against Madison?
You never feel comfortable against Madison or really in a lot of eight-man games because of the explosiveness that can take place. And even when you're playing very sound defense, they had the speed, they had the passing game, they had all the tools. They were coming off of back-to-back state championships, and we knew they had the athletes that at any given time they could pop off something big, and then all of a sudden it's back to a two-score game. And any misfortune in games that close with two good teams, and you could right away be finding yourself in a position where hanging on is no longer an option, and you're never real comfortable until the final ticks go off the clock.
The next week, you ended up taking on a very good Ness City team down at state. But when you look back at this group and the team that made it to the state championship game, what are some of the things that stand out the most? And are you able to keep in touch with some of those kids?
I do get to keep in touch with quite a few of them. From time to time, I'll bump into them. It was great when they came back when we had the dedication ceremony for the eight-man all-star plaque up there at the football field there. One of the things that really sticks out to me about this group, and it was actually the year before, every group kind of has its own dynamic, and I remember it was the week after we'd played Osborne, and Osborne was a good team. We were up on them two or three scores, and it looked like if we had just got one more thing go our way that they were going to quit, and they ended up coming back. They had a ton of speed on their team. And that next day at practice, I was about as disheartened as you could be, because I thought, boy, if you can't win with this group, you're a bad coach. And that day at practice when we were conditioning, you always got kids that are, they want to pop their helmets. So they, all of a sudden, without saying anything, they just took ownership. And it was, no, we're not going to show weakness. We're not going to hang our heads. And from then on, it was just a different team, a different group of young men. And they were just a joy to work with. And I love watching them grow up and seeing them in a different aspect that way.
Sam Myers, head coach of the Rock Hills Grizzly football team and the team that made it to state in 2012. Sam, we thank you for the time. It was fun to reminisce and go back to the game and hope everybody enjoys this replay coming up.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Dusty.
And now we're going to take you back to Rock Hills High School in Mankato, Kansas, on the Saturday afternoon of November 10th, 2012, for the second half of the Rock Hills Madison Substate Championship game here in our Substate Championship Rewind on Katy Country 94 on the Sports Ticket.
We're ready to start the second half. Rock Hills leads Madison 14-6. Apparently, Madison elected to kick in the first half because they elected to kick, so they made the choice. They didn't elect to defer. So they selected the kick, and now I don't know why you do that, to be completely honest with you. I'm not sure why anybody would come out and say, we want to kick. Why do you not defer and get the ball back? They are kicking off to Joel Brockman, who sits at his own 3-yard line. So Madison, I'm guessing, made a mistake at the start of this game. Here's the approach and an end-over-end kick. Brockman is in the end zone. So it's not going to hurt him in special teams, but it still hurts him due to the fact that Rock Hills has an 8-point lead and will get the ball to start the second half at their own 15-yard line. Grizzlies will look to tack on to their lead. Here's Koppel on first down. He tries to get the edge. Well defended by Madison. Nowhere to go for Koppel. On the defense, Braxton Butler, the 5'9", 155 senior. And Koppel is tackled for a loss of 4 on the play, setting up second down and 14. So good start defensively for Madison. Not a good start on offense for Rock Hill. So now 23 yards on 5 carries. Second 14 coming up for Rock Hill. Koppel hands it to Joel Brockman. Brockman trying to get around, or right behind his offensive line there. Not much doing. He picked up maybe 2 on the play. Sets up third down and 12 for Rock Hills after the carry by Brockman. And he now has 76 yards on 11 carries for Rock Hills. So Brockman picks up 2, third and 12. 10:58 to play in the third quarter. Rock Hills get out to a 14-6 lead in the first half, but they're faced with a tough situation here on third down and 12 going into the wind at their own 13-yard line. Koppel with a late handoff to Kozan, who bowls over the defender Blubach across the 20 and out to the 21. Sets up fourth down at about four for Rock Hills, and Jordan Walter already running out on the field to punt it away for the Grizzlies, and a very, very smart decision from Sam Myers and Rock Hills. With a lead, you don't want to take any chances on giving up that lead and give Madison a better field position than they need to. Clay Kozan picked up about 7 yards on that last carry, but 4 yards short of a first down. And here's a snap to Walter. Jordan, nice line drive punt. That's a good punt. Oh, it's hit by a Madison player. Joe Brockman's on top of it. And the muff punt goes to Rock Hills. I'm not real sure what the Bulldogs were doing there. Back on the return, I guess it's hard to read these numbers. I think it was Blubaugh back. No, it was actually McClellan, I think, back there returning for Madison. And it was a short line drive punt into the wind. McClellan, I think, thought it was going to come right to him and then started going forward to it. It kind of hit him on the chest and bounced down. And Joel Brockman recovers at the 39. Here's a snap, handoff to Aaron Brockman, straight forward across the midfield stripe and out to the Madison 37-yard line. We'll call it the 38, a 4-yard pickup for Aaron Brockman on first down. Boy, I tell you, Madison just was a tough situation there for the Bulldogs. So about 9:50 to play, Rock Hills gets the muff punt. Joel Brockman was there to recover it. Second down and about 7 coming up for Rock Hills. Quick pitch goes to Kozan, cuts it back inside, has some running room to the 35 to the 30. 25-20. Kozan down to the 15, to the 10, and finally tackled by McClellan at the 9-yard line. What a run from Clay Kozan. That one covers, we'll call it about 28 yards on the carry for Clay Kozan. Big run for Rock Hills as the Grizzlies have first and goal at the Madison 9. Hand off to Aaron Brockman. Straight up the middle, Brockman down to the 5-yard line, and a 4-yard pickup. What a run from Kozan, and what momentum right now for Rock Hills after the muff punt. And they have second and goal at the Madison 5. Grizzlies bringing it up to the line of scrimmage as Koppel comes up under center. Offset eye, Kozan at fullback, Joel Brockman at tailback. Koppel takes the snap, handoff Joel Brockman. He goes straight forward, tries to dive toward the pylon and the goal line, and he's left short at the 1-yard line. Third down and goal at the 1 after a 4-yard pickup for Joel Brockman. So 4 yards for Joel. He now has 80 yards on 12 carries. Grizzlies looking to add to their 14-6 lead with 8:10 to play in the third quarter with third and goal at the 1. High formation behind Koppel. Long count for Koppel. Takes a snap, bobbled it, and hands it off to the tailback, Aaron Brockman, who goes forward, and he's in. Touchdown, Aaron Brockman. He just stretched it out just enough there to get it across the goal line on a dive play, and a touchdown for Rock Hills for Aaron Brockman from a yard out. 7:59 to play in the third quarter. Rock Hills 20, Madison 6 after the touchdown run for Aaron Brockelman. What a start to the second half for the Grizzlies, as you thought that they were going to struggle as they had to punt, but then a muff punt by McClellan and a pickup by Brockman. And 5 plays later, they're in for a touchdown. Koppel on the two-point attempt, rolling the pass. Pressured, fires back of the end zone. Joel Brockman, what a catch in the back of the end zone for the Rock Hills sophomore, as his first initial target, Wyatt Flynn, was covered well. And Brockman snuck behind the defenders and caught it for the two-point conversion. 7:59 to play in the third quarter. Rock Hills 22, Madison 6.
As Rock Hills took the 22-6 lead in the third quarter, we'll fast forward to the 3:09 mark of the third quarter when Madison gets back into the game.
Second down and 8, Madison. Again, quickly up to the line. Split backs behind the quarterback, Blubaugh. Pitch goes to Alvarez. Cuts it back inside of the 10. To the 5. Touchdown. Ed Alvarez. He takes it in from 16-yard down for Madison. It cuts it to a 22-12 Rock Hills lead with still 3:09 to play in the third quarter. Ed Alvarez with the first touchdown run of the game, as he now has 70 yards rushing on 10 carries for Madison. That was the first carry of the second half for Alvarez. And the Bulldogs will look to go for two. As we mentioned, this is a huge, huge play for both teams as Rock Hills looks to keep this a two-possession game, and Madison looks to cut it to a one-possession game. Gets split back behind Blubaugh. Quick pitch goes to Alvarez. It's a halfback pass. Alvarez cuts it back inside because he didn't have anything. Tucks it and runs and gets down to the 2.
stop short of the goal line. A huge stop for Rock Hills. 3:09 to play in the third quarter. It's Rock Hills 22, Madison 12. Back after the timeout. Here's the kickoff from the Madison Bulldogs. Joel Brockman fields at the 3 to the 5, 10, 15. Out to the outside 20. And trying to break the tackle out to the 23-yard line. Rock Hills will start this next possession. Making the tackle for Madison was the junior Mitchell Murphy. First and 10 for Rock Hills. Their own 23-yard line. Grizzlies lead 22-12 with 3:02 to play in the third quarter. Again, a big stop on that last two-point attempt by the Madison Bulldogs. They tried a halfback pass that didn't work. And then Alvarez was stopped 2 yards short of the goal line. As Knopf comes up with split backs behind him. Kozan and Aaron Brockman on the back. Here's the handoff to Kozan. Play goes up forward across the 25 and out to about the 27-yard line. Pick up a 4 on first down for Clay Kozan. I think if you're Rock Hill, if you continue to do those kind of things, just keep pounding it at them if you can do it. 62 yards now on 9 carries for Clay Kozan. Second down and a long 6 coming up for Rock Hill. 2.5 minutes to play in the third quarter. Gompel now with the offset eye behind. Chance takes the snap. And Kozan lost it again. Did Madison pick it up? They indeed did. Madison has another turnover recovered by the Madison Bulldogs. Sage Wubaugh picks it up at the Rock Hills 28-yard line. That is a huge, huge turnover by Rock Hill. Their third fumble of the game. That's one thing that hurts you in that read option type of offense. When you keep it in that gut for so long and you don't make a good exchange, teams like Madison are going to make you pay sometimes. 2:24 as Wubaugh recovers the fumble here in the third quarter on first down. Wubaugh stopped for no gain. Actually, that was a handoff to Alvarez. Stopped for no gain on the play. So the third fumble for Rock Hills that they've lost in this game. Madison has turned the ball over twice. Second down and 10 coming up for the Bulldogs at the 29 of Rock Hills. And Alvarez now with 11 carries, 70 yards for Madison. Taking a little bit more time in the huddle than they normally do. As the clock runs down at 1:44 to play in the third quarter. Wubaugh brings it up. Single step back is Alvarez. Wubaugh takes the snap. That is a backwards pass to Alvarez. He gets knocked out of bounds on the far sideline by Dalton Wilson. Great play defensively. That will go in the books as a run play for Alvarez and a pickup of a yard. Setting up now third down and 9. As he got maybe a half yard actually on the carry. So third and long coming up for Madison. 71 yards on 12 carries. Actually, they didn't give it. When they actually finally spot the ball, they give them nothing on the carries. So third down and 10 for Madison at the Rock Hills 29. Rock Hills looking to stiffen up defensively again. Here's a snap. Wubaugh on the keys. Oh, Dalton Wilson fires through the gap and makes the tackle 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage at the 32. A loss of 3 for Wubaugh. He now has 1 yard on 9 carries. Fourth down for Madison. They're in punt formation. Rock Hill's not sending anybody back. Madison will punt. It's a high punt, and it angles out. They were trying to angle out to not kick it into the end zone, and we're going to see where the officials saw where it angled out. This was not a good punt for Madison. This is going to be a net of maybe 12 yards on the punt. Actually, they put it back at the 16, so a net 17-yard punt for Madison. Which isn't all bad. If it goes into the end zone, it's the 15-yard line. So they only lost about a yard there on the punt that would have gone through the end zone. So first and 10 at the 16 for Rock Hills. But even more importantly, Rock Hills, for the second time after a fumble, has forced Madison to give the ball back up. Gompel with split backs behind him on first and 10 at the 16. Quick pitch goes to Aaron Brockman. He's a nice block around the edge of the 20. And he gets across the 20 to about the 23-yard line on the far sideline where he's tackled. And a pickup of 5 for Aaron Brockman on first down. Actually, 6-yard pickup, 2nd and 4 coming up for Rock Hills. 57 yards on 12 carries for Aaron Brockman. Kind of a steady workhorse for the Grizzlies so far today. 2nd down and 4 for Rock Hills. Their own 24. Hand off to Clay Kozan as he goes straight forward. Trying to get across the 25 and does. It's a nice push from Corbin Green, the center, near a first down at the 33-yard line. We'll see if that push was enough for a first down for the Grizzlies as Kozan comes up off the ground. Good sportsmanship displayed out there by Braxton Butler, helping Kozan up off the ground. It looks like they're going to take a timeout to measure to see if Kozan has enough for a first down. Actually, we're at the end of the third quarter, so it doesn't really matter. They will take some time to measure here, and we'll let you know
when we come back whether Rock Hills has a first down or not. We're at the end of three. It's Rock Hills 22, Madison 12. Back after the timeout on KD Country 94. First down for Rock Hills at the end of the third quarter. And Joel Brockman on first down. They started the fourth quarter very quickly. And a pickup of 8 on first down for Joel Brockman. That sets up second down and 2 for the Grizzlies after the run by Brockman. So Joel now with 89 yards rushing on 14 carries for Rock Hills. Second down and 2 for the Grizzlies. They're on 34. Goffel takes the snap. Fakes the handoff to Kozan. Aaron Brockman tries to get the edge. Pushed back at about the 35-yard line. A pickup of a yard for Aaron Brockman. And in on the tackle that time, I believe, was Owen Reed. Also helping make the stop for Madison was Sven Bates, the defensive end. Pickup of a yard for Aaron Brockman. Third down and 1 for Rock Hills. Grizzlies lead 22-12 after three quarters. We're a minute into the fourth quarter. The winner of this game again moves on to play Ness City in the state championship next Saturday in Newton. Third down in the yard. Offset eye behind the quarterback, Koppel, on third and 1. Chance takes the snap. Quarterback sneak. Pushing and driving forward. Forward progress. Looks like it'll be enough for a first down. We'll wait and see the official spot, though. We don't want to make that determination until we see that ball down on the ground on the quarterback sneak from Koppel, which has gone for 4 yards the other two times he did it. Move the chains, they say. Pick up a 2 on the play for Chance Koppel, another Rock Hills first down. 2-yard carry there. He's now got 19 yards, does Koppel, on 7 carries for the Grizzlies. There's a 1st and 10 play. Koppel giving the ball up to Aaron Brockman around the left end. And a pickup of 3 on first down for Brockman. Sets up 2nd down and 7 just inside Madison territory at about the 39.5-yard line. So Aaron Brockman, again, continuing to be that guy that they go to for those short yards and power yards in this game. He's got 61 yards and 14 carries for the Rock Hills senior. 2nd and 7 for the Grizzlies just inside Madison territory. Again, the offset eye behind Copley quarterback, Joel Brockman, in a tailback this time. Pitch goes to Joel as he tries to get the edge, trying to cut it back inside. When he saw that the edge wasn't open, and Madison was all over the play. Making the stop was Gavin Beyer, a couple other players helping out, and a loss of 3 on the play for Joel. Sets up 3rd and 10 for Rock Hills. So Joel now with 86 yards rushing on 15 carries. 9:40 to play in the fourth quarter in the ballgame. 22-12, Rock Hills with the advantage. Trying to get on the move here on 3rd down and 10. And this is the situation where you think that Rock Hills might try to open up the playbook a little bit, maybe a little sling pass to Kozan or Aaron Brockman, something in that area. Goffel takes the snap. He wants to pass. Fires over the middle. Wyatt Flynn is open. Lowers the shoulder. Has enough for a first down across the 30-yard line. Fumbled the football. Aaron Brockman on top of it at the 24-yard line. That's one of the things that I was worried about when the big boy was running with the football. Does he have a good grasp on it? We're going to give Wyatt Flynn a pickup of about 13 yards on the reception. And then a fumble recovered by Aaron Brockman as Rock Hills has a first down just inside the Madison 25-yard line. I knew that they'd try to probably open it up with the passing game on that play, and a pickup of about 13 on the play for Wyatt Flynn. 1st and 10. That's just the 2nd pass attempt of the game for the Grizzlies. 9:02 and counting in the ballgame, 22-12. Rock Hills looking to tack on more. Koppel takes the snap. Hand off to Joel Brockman. Uses the speed to get around the edge. 10 to the 20, to the 15, to the 10. 5, touchdown, Joel Brockman. It's a 24-yard score for the Rock Hills. Sophomore in the Grizzlies lead, 28-12 with 8:51 to play in the fourth quarter. Grizzly fans are starting to smell Newton just a little bit. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but that is a huge, huge score from the sophomore, Joel Brockman, from 24 yards out. That also puts Joel over 100 yards rushing with 110 on the day. Two-point attempt, upcoming handoff. Clay Kozan piles through for the two-point conversion. 30-12, Rock Hills, 8:51 to play in the ballgame. We're back after the timeout on KD Country 94. Rock Hills 30, Madison 12. Devin Freeman is set to kick off for the Grizzlies after the 24-yard score by Joel Brockman. That was a 9-play, 64-yard drive for the Grizzlies, ended by that 24-yard score for Brockman and the two-point attempt by Kozan. Devin Freeman on the kick. And he put it through the middle of the uprights again. Again, it doesn't matter, though, as it's a kickoff. Madison will take over at the 15-yard line. Devin Freeman showing his leg with a little wind behind him. Again, 30-12, the score in favor of Rock Hills. Rock Hills looking to make it to the state championship game against Ness City in Newton. Here's the snap for Madison. Blue ball handed off to Reed, I believe, gets the call across the 15 and out to the 17. Was Owen Reed. And it's a pickup of about two on the play. Sets up second down and eight for Madison. Owen Reed, again, had 184 yards in the win, 66-28 win against South Haven last week. He picks up two here and has 14 yards rushing on four carries for Madison. Interesting to see how Madison plays from behind because they haven't had to do that too much in the past four seasons. They have trips to the far side, a different formation. Blue ball, the snap went through his legs. Daniels trying to get it, and does. Recovered by Micah Daniels at the three-yard line for the Rock Hills Grizzlies. Rock Hills already leading 30-12, and they have first and goal at the Madison 3 on a bad snap. That's another thing that you can't account for when you get to the playoffs. If you get down and have to play from behind, you have to change the way you run your offense. You have to change the things you do offensively from running to passing. The snap goes through the legs, and it's recovered by Micah Daniels with 8:09 still to play in the game, and Rock Hills has first and goal at the Madison 3. First down play. Here's Koppel handing off to the goal line. Touchdown for Rock Hills and Clay Cozan. Cozan got the call on first down, ran behind left guard and scores with 8:04 to play in the ballgame. Rock Hills 36, Madison 12. Clay Cozan takes it in from 3 yards out. He has 69 yards rushing on 11 carries. There is a timeout and down on the ground for Rock Hills, one of their players. And as I look, it appears it might be an offensive lineman. We'll wait and see. We don't want to try to speculate on who that is. But Clay Cozan just took in a touchdown from 3 yards out, and Rock Hills leads 36-12 with 8:04 to play after the fumble recovery. Still looking down there to try to determine who that is, but right now it's hard for me to tell. They're back up now. It was Micah Daniels. Micah Daniels was the one that was down, and he's back up and walking to the sideline and hoping that he's all right, as it's now a two-point attempt coming up for Rock Hills. Looks like he's okay. Micah popped up and walking to the sideline on his own power. 8:04 to play in the game. It's 36-12. Daniels was the one that recovered the fumble at the three-yard line. Each team has had three turnovers in this game, so Rock Hills has been helped by that fact. I formation behind Koppel on the two-point attempt. Play action fake. He rolls to the right, tucks it back, cuts it inside, and gets tackled about the two-yard line. So two-point conversion attempt fails. 8:04 to play in the game. Rock Hills 36, Madison 12. The Grizzlies with the command on this one. We're back after the timeout on Kitty Country 94. 8:04 to play in our 8-man Division 1 sub-state championship game. The Rock Hills Grizzlies leading 36-12 over the Madison Bulldogs. They are just 8 minutes and 4 seconds away from a trip to the state championship. Freeman's kick this time, kind of a line drive, fumbled by Madison at the 3, picked up at the 5. Running out to the 15, a tackle made by Dalton Wilson. Actually, Cisco Fisher in coverage on the return was for the Madison Bulldogs was Mitchell Murphy, as he's taken down at the 15. Murphy stopped there, and Madison has first down at their own 15-yard line. Grizzlies again winning at 36-12, just under 8 minutes to play, and the winner plays Ness City at the state championship game next weekend. Again, the last check, it was Thunder Ridge winning 16-0 over Sharon Springs, Kensington. So they're looking for a rematch in the state championship game against Baileyville B&B next week. First and 10, Madison. Handoff goes to the fullback as Reed gets the call and takes it straight forward across the 25 and out to the 26-yard line. Owen Reed with a nice carry. Moves the chains, an 11-yard pickup for Madison. First and 10 at their own 26-yard line after an 11-yard run for Owen Reed. Reed now has 25 yards rushing on 5 carries for Madison. Here's a quick pitch. Far side, Reed cuts it back inside across the 25 and out to about the 28. Still pushing and driving forward to about the 30-yard line. Fellow pickup of 3 on first down for Reed. And Madison, second down and 7 for the Bulldogs. Second and 7 for Madison at their own 30. Micah Daniels returning to the game for Rock Hills. Grant Davis was out there, the 5'11", 250-pound freshman. Daniels is back and ready to go. Quick pitch, far side, Ed Alvarez. Alvarez cuts it back inside, driving across the 35 and pushed forward to near the first down yardage marker at the 37-yard line. Does Alvarez have enough? We'll wait and see what the spot is. They may have to pull the chains out for this one. Nope, they are not going to pull the chains out. It's enough for a first down for Alvarez, a 9-yard pickup for Madison, or excuse me, an 8-yard pickup for Alvarez. 78 yards rushing for Alvarez in the game. And it's first and 10 for for Madison at their own 36. Reed gets the call this time. He ran right into Wyatt Flynn. Clay Cozanne helping out. You're not going to get a lot of yards when you run straight up into Wyatt Flynn. And it's a pickup of one for Owen Reed. 29 yards rushing for Reed. Rock Hill is leading 36-12 with 6.5 minutes to play in the game. Again, these Rock Hill fans are starting to taste state championship appearance. They just have to hold on for another 6 minutes and 20 seconds or less. Trips to the far side. Last time they did this, it didn't work too well. Blubon takes the snap, and it doesn't work well this time either. Kalinske got the snap this time. He goes forward, gets stripped up maybe by his own lineman. Hayden Sayer, the center, was driven back by the nose guard, Cisco Fisher. And I think that might have altered what Blubon was doing. He slipped and actually lost the yard on the play. He's setting up third down at about 10 for Madison. 5:50 to play in the game. Madison has third and 10 at their own. About third and 9.5 yards to go at their own 37. So Madison comes out. More conventional single setback. Blubon takes a snap. Backwards pass to Alvarez. There's a penalty flag in the backfield. Alvarez breaks into the open field, cuts across the 25 to the 20, the 15 to the 10, and tackled about the 9-yard line, maybe the 8 by Robbie Dean, but it's more than likely this play's coming back. Personal foul, actually, roughing the passer. Wait. Isn't that roughing the passer? The signal that he just did, he said personal foul roughing the passer on Madison. Here's my problem with this. If it is roughing the passer, that wasn't a pass. Yes, it was a pass, but it was a lateral. It was a backwards pass. So it's on Rock Hills. What they pointed the wrong direction. The penalty's on Rock Hills, called roughing the passer. So in that situation, I don't know why you would decline that. You can put that on at the end of the play. If it's a personal foul, it can be added to the end of the run. And Madison declined the penalty. Personal foul, roughing the passer. So we'll take that away. And what we have is a 42-yard pass play to Alvarez. And now we have a timeout on the field called by Madison. We're going to put it in the book. That's an interesting play, to say the least. It just happened. So Madison has first and goal at the 7-yard line. We do know that, and they've just taken a timeout. 5:24 to play in the game. It's 36-12 in favor of Rock Hills. Madison has two receivers at the far side, one at the near side. Blubon wants to pass on first and goal at the 7. Fires over the middle, wide open wide receiver, the big boy there to make the catch. Nick Young was guard eligible on the play and makes the catch for the touchdown for Madison. 36-18 the score as Blubon hits Young for the score. That was a 7-yard touchdown pass from Blubon to Young, and his second touchdown pass of the game. First one was a 30-yard shovel pass to Willie Derryberry, the first score for Madison in the first quarter. Madison looking to cut this to a 16-point game. This is a pretty big 2-point attempt right now coming up also, as they can cut this to a 2-possession game. Alvarez gets the pitch and takes it in for 2. Still 5:19 to play in the game. It's Rock Hill 36, Madison 20. The Bulldogs will tee it up 30-yard line. Obviously got to be aware of an onside kick from Madison right now. And they've got everybody lined up on the far side, except for the one on the near side is Blubon. So obviously the way they're lining this up, they're looking for the onside kick. Owen Reed has it teed up at the 30. He approaches, and the onside kick bobbled by Weston Wagner, but Robbie Dean jumps on top of it at the 38-yard line. That's not the way you practice that. Wagner had intentions of taking the onside kick and running with it when he went up to it. Bobbled it, and Robbie Dean was the one that did the wise thing and fell right on top of it. And the Grizzlies have first and 10 at their own 38-yard line, leading 36-20 as they recover the onside kick attempt. First and 10 for Rock Hill. Offset eye behind the quarterback, Chance Koppel. Koppel, handoff, goes to Aaron Brockelman. And Aaron gets across the 40 to about the 39-yard line. 2-yard pickup on first down for Aaron Brockelman. Aaron with his 15th carry for 63 yards for Rock Hills. And Rock Hills has second down and 8 just inside Madison territory with 4:47 to play in the game. Koppel, again with the offset eye. This time Joel Brockelman is in at tailback, and Koppel's taking as much time as he possibly can. I think he's looking at the back judge to know when he's got to snap it. Handoff goes to Joel Brockelman across the 40 and out to the 38-yard line. Another 2 yards, third down and 6 coming up for Rock Hill. Under 12 yards for Joel Brockelman. on 17 carries. Third and six coming out for Rock Hill. 4:05 to play in our ball game here in Mankato. 36-20 in favor of Rock Hill. Third and six for the Grizzlies. Again, Koppel staring at that back judge, seeing how much time he has. Quick pitch goes to Aaron Brock, tries to get the edge, tackle from behind at about the 35, setting up fourth down and about three to go. After we'll call a three-yard pickup for Aaron Brockelman. 66 yards rushing now for Aaron. And the Grizzlies have fourth down and three coming up. They will go for it and try to tack on and get a first down. Leading 36-20 with 3:15 to play. Koppel with an offset backfield. Brockelman comes in motion to the near side. Joel does hand off to Kozan. He's got enough for a first down across the 30 and out to the 27. Kozan down to the Madison 27 on the carry of 8 yards for Rock Hills and a first down for the Grizzlies. They take it straight forward as play now has 77 yards rushing on 12 carries for Rock Hills. So the Grizzlies looking good right now. Will take a lot of time off the clock again on this possession as they come up to the line of scrimmage with first and 10 at the Madison 27. Koppel turns around, says something to his fullback, Kozan. Offset eye. Kozan gets the call. Across the 25. Pushing down to the 22. And a pickup of six for Clay Kozan. So Clay has 83 yards rushing for Rock Hills. It's going to be very, very difficult for me to name the H&R Block of the game and also the athlete of the game for Rock Hills because there's a lot of guys that are very well deserved. Second down and four coming up for the Grizzlies. Clock running down to 2:08 and counting to play in the ball game. Should get about to 2 minutes, a little under two, or over 2 minutes before they snap. Hand off to Clay Kozan. Again, a strong push at the end of the run across the 20, near the 17, and it looks like he's got enough for another first down. Six more yards for Clay Kozan, who now has 89 yards rushing. And the fullback has carried the ball 14 times for Rock Hills. He's continued to milk that clock. Now under 2 minutes with 1:53 to play. A 36-20 lead for Rock Hills. Looking more and more like the Grizzlies are headed to Newton to take on the Nest City Eagles coming up at Fisher Field. Again, an offset eye behind Koppel at quarterback. Here's the snap. Koppel goes to Kozan. Drives again across the 15. A late penalty flag. That is going to be a personal foul on Madison. Kozan's head kind of got jerked at the end of that. They're saying that he pulled him down by either the back of the helmet or the face mask. The face mask is what it's called. I knew it was going to be a personal foul on Madison because Kozan's head did a really weird jerk at the end of that run, and it was pretty clear that this penalty was going to be on Madison. 36-20 the score, the minute 31 to play, and the personal foul will give Rock Hills the football at the Madison 6. Kozan gets credit for another 6-yard run. He's got 95 yards rushing. And another penalty on Madison. Half the distance to the goal. That's just their second penalty of the game. And first and goal for Rock Hills after Madison 6. This situation looks like they might be coming up to take a knee and get in victory formation because I don't think Madison is going to contest this. They're looking at the official, make sure they take the time that they need to. As Koppel takes the snap and kneels it down. So again, the kneel down for Chance Koppel. We get closer and closer to Rock Hills heading to the state championship game. So the Grizzlies will have to do this at least one more time. As Koppel steps up under center, the Grizzlies will improve to 11-1. Madison will drop to 10-2. Just their second loss this season and just their fifth loss in the last 4 years for the Madison Bulldogs. Koppel takes the knee. We'll hear a little bit from the Rock Hills fans here as they celebrate their team headed to the state championship. They're not going to need to do this anymore. Final score, Rock Hills 36, Madison 20. The Rock Hills Grizzlies are headed to the state championship game on Saturday at Fisher Field in Newton. You can tell that the Rock Hills fans are very pleased that their team is headed down to Newton coming up on Saturday. They will play Nest City next Saturday at 3 o'clock in Newton at Fisher Field. Rock Hills again completes it with a win, 36-20 over Madison.
As you heard with Coach Myers earlier in our interview, Rock Hills ran up against a very solid Ness City team in the state championship game the next week at Fisher Field in Newton, falling in that one. They finished their season, though, with a record of 11-2, the 2012 eight-man Division I state runner-up, a solid season, their best in school history there at Rock Hills. And if you'd like an audio copy of the full game between Rock Hills and Madison that we had back there on November 10th of 2012, you can give us a call at the station at 545-3220. We'll give you the details on how you can purchase that. Also, any of the other games in our past archives, again, 545-3220, the number to call. That'll do it for this edition of Substate Championship Rewind on Kitty Country 94 on the Sports Ticket.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.